As has already been mentioned, we appreciate the presence of everyone, and it's encouraging that we can come together on the first day of the week to sing together and worship God together, and it's very encouraging that we can open up our Bibles now and turn to a portion of Scripture and hopefully be encouraged by that. In our Scripture reading this morning in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, the statement, "Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice." You think about the world that is out and about and around us today and how much sadness and sorrow is in that world and how discouraged and downtrodden they are. And we know of folks that we work with and family and friends that are torn down by the things of their life, and they're just really not happy people. And yet we're told to rejoice in the Lord. I hope this morning we can look at this command, this statement in the Word of God, and learn from it and glean from it. And just in these short five words, rejoice in the Lord always, three important lessons for our admonition this morning. You think about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, and we're reminded that it is a command. Rejoice in the Lord. And I wonder sometimes if this is a command that is overlooked. A lot of times we stress things like the need to repent and be baptized. We stress that command. We stress the command to give on the first day of the week, and we stress the command to take the Lord's Supper and those types of things. And yet, do we overlook things like rejoicing in the Lord? We may be a Christian that comes and that because of the command to give, we give every first day of the week, but we're really not a joyful Christian. Rejoice in the Lord is just as much a command as any command in the Word of God. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's something that Paul wants us to do and that God wants us to do. It's not optional. We need to be a joyous Christian. I'm looking forward to the study that Matthew is going to have with us in this quarter in the book of Philippians. One of the themes there is joy, the joy of a Christian. And we need that today in our culture that is often torn down by the sin and the things of this life. We need to rejoice in the Lord. And we need to make sure that we're following this command just as much as any. We don't need to be a sour Christian. We need to be one who is rejoicing in the Lord. That's just as important as laying by in store on the first day of the week. And the command to sing and the command to read our Bibles and those types of things. So this morning, I hope that we can learn from those kinds of things. And we cannot disregard this text. Somebody says, well, what's an important text in the New Testament? Well, that would be Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Well, we certainly need to be thinking about that verse. But this is just as important, and it cannot be overlooked. And we cannot be pleasing and true to God and not fulfill this text. And so the Apostle Paul wants us to learn, and God wants us to learn the importance of being happy in Christ. We just got through singing how happy we are in Jesus. Did we focus on that? Did we think about that? Did we concentrate on that, that we're happy today? Are we really happy? We can be, and God wants us to be. What is expected of us then in this command? Again, just five words, but three important lessons. We're going to see this morning that this is a positive command. Number two, we're going to see that it's particular. It's in the Lord. And number three, we're going to see that it's perpetual, always. And so look again at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. First of all, we need to understand that this is a positive command. When God made us in His image in Genesis chapter 1, we were made in His image with the ability to have emotions. And God wants us to be a joyous people. He doesn't want us to be brought down by the things that are in the sinful world. First of all, we need to understand that it's a positive command. Joy. And really, that is a theme all throughout the book of Philippians and other places in the Word of God. Many people today are living in a negative state. They're discouraged, they're depressed, they're divided, and it's due to the sin that is in their life. When you look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and you find Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where there's no sin present there, we find that they're walking with God, we find that Adam and Eve are in union, they're in unity, they were together there in marriage, they were happy. And when the devil comes on the scene in Genesis chapter 3 and sin is introduced into the picture, then we find them blaming each other and they're hiding from God and they're making excuses. We find that a positive thing turns negative very quickly. It gets even worse in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain kills his brother Abel. When sin is introduced into my life, there's going to be discouragement, depression, division. We're going to be brought down by sickness and sadness and sorrow. And look at our world around us. We have a large pharmaceutical industry that is given to trying to raise the emotions of people through pills. And I'm certainly not going to stand before you as a physician or as a psychiatrist, and I want to be very careful and limited in what I say, but I wonder if much of what goes on in the minds of individuals and in the lives of individuals can be relieved by simply coming to Christ and His Word. There may be things that have to be taken care of through medication. I'm certainly not disparaging that. But I wonder if much of it is just simply removing the sin from someone's life and getting back on track with walking with God. Many people today are living in a negative state. That's not what God wants. God wants there to be joy and unity and happiness. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, some versions say blessed, other versions say happy. The meek, you see. Blessed are the meek, happy are the meek. That Greek word makarios, meaning a happy or blessed state. That's what Jesus wants. That's what the Apostle Paul wants. That's what God ultimately wants for us. And so we need to understand that God wants joy in our life, in our marriage, in our relationships at home and other places. God wants us to be transformed out of this negativity that is caused by sin into a positivity caused by walking by the words of the Holy Spirit. This is not some joy based upon some fleeting moment, as we're going to see in just a moment. It is to be always, but it is to be based on following the Holy Spirit. Not following our carnal attitudes and what the devil wants and what we want. That's what brings people down. The negative language, the negative attitudes, the negative actions on the part of humanity. Why do we have so much war? Why do we have so much outrage? Why do we have so much killing and death and problems? Because sin is ruling the lives of many individuals, not the Holy Spirit. Notice several passages with me this morning, beginning in Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. And I want you to notice specifically in these passages the connection between joy and the Holy Spirit. It is not joy that is coming from something in this life. It is joy when we follow the words of the Holy Spirit revealed in the Word of God. The disciples were filled with the joy and with the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. There's a couple of passages here that I want to look at in detail. This one and then the passage in Galatians. But if you read Romans chapter 14, you'll notice in the earlier part of the chapter that Paul is trying to address this matter of Christians who are not getting along because they're pressing their opinions over things that they eat and other kinds of things. And in the first part of the chapter, there are people that are at odds because they're pressing their opinion. And the solution, Paul says in verse 17, is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If there's sin in our lives, there's not going to be peace. If we're pressing our opinions and following what we want, there's not going to be peace. But when we follow what the Holy Spirit wants, there's going to be peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 15. Destroy not with your meat him for whom Christ died. That's not a very positive thing. That's a negative thing. So the chapter talks about negative things, and the way you remove that is you get your minds off of those things, and it's not about the eating and the drinking and the food and pressing your opinions on that, but peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the division that existed at Rome could be eliminated if they would get back to following the Holy Spirit. In this same context in chapter 15 and verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy in the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians, this well-known passage, the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul talks about how that we need to follow the Holy Spirit in His words and it will produce fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, look at these positive things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and so forth. When we're following the words of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be these positive things. There's going to be joy. But back up to verse 16. When we walk by the flesh, and there is sin in our life, look at verse 19. The fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery. You could take each one of those words, and you could find negative things about them. Fornication causes problems. Uncleanness and lasciviousness causes problems. Idolatry, sorcery, look at this, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath. Is there any of that going on in the world today? In the workplace? Other places? Absolutely. Enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, because we're not following the Holy Spirit. What are we following? What we want, the works of the flesh. Notice the contrast between the negativity, the works of the flesh, and the positivity, the fruits of the Spirit. We've got to get the sin out of our life. We've got to get the selfishness out of our life. And so the Apostle Paul also talks about in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. God does not want us to have these negative things. And yet, that's often what is found in the world. Galatians 5 and verse 20, wrath, faction, division, envy, drunkenness, reveling. Many homes are torn up today. Many lives are torn up today because of sin. And they could change that. They could be transformed. They could get out of that and live a better life, a positive life, if they would bring their lives into conformity to the words of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand, first of all, that this command is meant to bring us the life that God wants us to have, that positive relationship that Adam and Eve had before sin entered into the garden and that type of thing. Our world is being brought down by the sin of the devil. And people are being hurt by it. They're hurting themselves mentally and physically, and they're hurting others around them. We need to get out of that negative and into the positive by following the words of the Holy Spirit. The second thing about this command, though, is that it's not just a positive command, but it's a particular command. It's not just any kind of joy. Did you notice in the text that the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord"? So it's a particular kind of joy. It's a discriminating command. In other words, it's not just any kind of joy or any kind of relationship that we can find out there. Well, maybe my joy will be found in an unhealthy sexual relationship. Maybe my joy will be found in a lot of money, you see. Maybe my joy will be found in being popular, like the Hollywood-style approach. No, it's a particular kind of command. It is joy in the Lord. So let's look at that for just a moment. Elsewhere in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul mentions the same thing in chapter 3 and verse 1, joy in the Lord. In chapter 4 and verse 10, it's rejoicing in the Lord. Philemon verse 20, rejoicing in the Lord. So it's a particular kind of joy. What we need to understand, friends, this morning is that only those who have been scripturally baptized into Christ will experience this kind of joy. Are you happy? Everybody this morning will have some level of happiness. Whether we're in or out of Christ, all of us can say this morning that we have some level of joy in our life. But you have not experienced the joy that God wants you to have until sins have been washed away in baptism. You might be happy about something that's going on at home or at work. You might be happy about something here or there, but you do not have the joy that God wants you to have until you're in the Lord. And we're not in the Lord until we're baptized into Christ. Scripturally, there's all kinds of denominational baptism out there. So only those who have been scripturally baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and who are living faithfully. The Apostle Paul describes Timothy in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17 as my true child in the faith and in the Lord. A faithful child in the Lord. We've got to be living faithfully. And then when it comes time to die, John talks about those who die in the Lord. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Revelation 14 and verse 13. When we're in the Lord, Having been baptized into Christ scripturally and living faithfully and ready to die faithfully, then we can experience that joy. But not until then. And so it's a particular kind of joy that is limited to faithful Christians. There are a lot of things that happen in life that give us some level of happiness. Maybe our favorite food, or we might do something on vacation, or we might have a holiday that we enjoy. But we do not have the deep-seated joy of forgiveness of sins and being in a right relationship with the Lord. And when we go to bed at night, we're ready to meet the Lord. That peace, verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, we do not have that until we are in the Lord. And so it's a particular area of joy. And we have to bring our lives into conformity to God's Word. You know, there's so many people that spend their time attempting to be happy in the other things in life. But what they don't realize is that it's just simply a fleeting, passing, vain kind of surface empty joy. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5. We're going to read a verse there in just a moment. And we're going to apply it to these things that we're talking about. But as you're turning over to Proverbs chapter 23, you think about people that joy in worldliness. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to drink, you see. Or I'm going to commit fornication, and that physical act, boy, it really feels good, and I feel joyous when I'm engaging in that, or when I'm drinking. But when it's all over with, and the reality sets in, then becomes the negativity. You know, you look at the beer commercials, they don't show the drunk on the street corner. You know, they don't show the bum underneath the overpass. They don't show that. They show everybody living it up and having a good time. They don't show the prostitute. They don't show the drug addict. They don't show the alcoholic. They show the fun highlight, you see. But it's fleeting and passing, and then the reality sets in and the negative sets in of the sin. It's simply vain to rejoice in worldliness. Well, what about riches? Well, money makes me happy. I get to go out and buy whatever I want. And yet we find Solomon, the richest man on the earth, said in the book of Ecclesiastes that after he had bought everything that he could buy, and he bought much more than what we have, his life was empty without the Lord. Well, I'm going to rejoice in the flesh, something that I've accomplished, or in the wisdom of the world, how smart I am, and look at the degrees that are on the wall, and look at how smart I am compared to somebody else. After a while, we're empty. The piece of paper on the wall doesn't mean anything. And some rejoice in their own righteousness, feeling that they're fine with God when they're not. All of this can be summarized in Proverbs 23 and verse 5. With regard to riches, we could apply this to worldliness and the wisdom of the world and the flesh and all kinds of things. It's just fleeting and flying. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings like an eagle that flieth toward heaven. It's just going to fly away. So that worldliness that I'm engaged in and I'm having fun in, after a little while, it just flies away. And then I'm sad and sorrowful and empty inside, and I don't have what God wants me to have. It's vain to rejoice in these kinds of things. I'm going to rejoice because I'm in the Lord, and that is lasting. That's for every day. It isn't fleeting. It isn't going to fly away. That will be with me. It's the peace that passeth all understanding. It will be with me until the day I die. It won't go anywhere. And that's the joy that we can have if we're right with God. Let's look at those things then for just a moment. If we're to rejoice in the Lord, what are some things that pertain to the Lord? What are some things that are in the Lord that I'm going to rejoice? If it's not the riches, if it's not the wisdom, if it's not the worldliness, what is it? Well, a few things. In the Word of God, we find individuals being happy about things that pertain to the Lord. When Jesus came into the world and he was announced as a Savior, what did the angel say to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, for example? There would be joy among men at his coming. The wise men rejoiced to see the star of Jesus, and there was joy when Mary conceived. And these passages in the book of Luke that deal with Jesus as a coming Savior, there's true joy there because there's forgiveness of sins. In Luke 24 and verse 52, when the apostles saw Jesus ascended into heaven, they worshipped him and then went back to Jerusalem in joy. When we understand that Jesus Christ can save us from sin, when we think about our great reward in heaven, Jesus said that you are to rejoice when you're persecuted. Rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. It's not in the things that you buy and that are sitting around the house. It's that heavenly home that awaits you that we can be happy about. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, when the 70 came back from preaching, Jesus said, if you want to be happy, you need to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now look at this plaque, and look at this ribbon, and look at this accomplishment, and look at this degree that's on the wall, and look at this prize that I won. That's nothing. If you want to be happy, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And you have everything God wants you to have. Our name is written in heaven when we obey the gospel, and the Lord records that, as it were, as a faithful child of God. That's what we should rejoice in. Not the things that we own and the things that we have and the money in the bank, but that our name is written in heaven. Is yours there this morning? If not, I would encourage you to make that change so that you can walk out this morning with that true joy. That lost souls are saved. If you turn to John chapter 4 and verse 36, Jesus talks about those who sow the seed and those who gather the seed rejoice together in the harvest. He's talking about the harvest of souls here in John chapter 4 and verse 36. He that reapeth wages and he that gathereth fruit unto eternal life, he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. What we're excited about is when people come to the service and when we have visitors and when we have home Bible study and when someone obeys the gospel, like we had two young people just a few weeks ago in our gospel meeting. That's what makes this happen. When souls are saved, we're rejoicing in those things of the Lord. When there's forgiveness of sin, the angels in heaven rejoice. And the word joy is mentioned when the lost coin is found and when the lost sheep is found and the prodigal son comes back. Why did the eunuch go on his way rejoicing in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39? Because he had just come up out of the waters of baptism. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 34, why is the jailer and his household rejoicing? Because the text says that they had just believed in God and they had been baptized into Christ. This is joy in the Lord because we're right with Him. The hope of heaven, joy, is mentioned in connection with hope all throughout the New Testament. We have that hope of heaven before us. The hope of glory. Not everybody has that. Not everybody is right with God. You may not be right with God this morning. Set aside the pride. Set aside whatever that is that is standing in the way. And come and obey the gospel. Right now you don't have that hope of heaven. What do you have? Well, I have a house to go home to. And I have a car. But Christians have a hope of heaven. And so, that's what makes us happy. Brotherly unity. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. What makes us happy is when we see Christians here at Memorial Boulevard unified and everybody pulling in the same direction. We all want to stand for truth. We all want Bible preaching. We all want Bible teaching. We all want to be growing and we're unified. That's what makes us happy. Make full my joy that you be of the same mind. Joy is connected with Paul seeing Christians being unified. brotherly unity. You see, these are things that pertain to the Lord. This is the particular kind of joy that God wants us to have. And then last of all, that we are walking in truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6, Paul says that love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. The fact that we have the truth, we're preaching the truth, we're studying the truth, we're learning the truth in our Bible classes, that's what makes us happy. It's not about the fun and the games. It's not about the large crowd. It's not about the things of a surface nature or a social nature, but we're just simply daily walking in truth. John said that if you make my joy full when I hear that you are walking in truth. 2 John 4, 3 John verse 3. Have you ever simply heard of other brethren that were unified and you thought in your heart how happy that makes you? Or you hear about some brother or sister in Christ or a young Christian, they're just simply following the Word of God and how happy that makes you feel. These are things that are particular to the Lord, and that's the joy that Christ wants us to have. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, this is a command that is to be perpetual. It is a command that is to be in our lives always. The Apostle Paul, two other places, uses this expression, rejoice in the Lord always. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, when he's talking about himself and the other apostles, he said that he's been persecuted and beaten down, but always rejoicing, he says. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, rejoice always, simply. This emotion in us is not some moody, temperamental, fickle emotion that comes and goes like the changing wind, but each day we are going to be happy with the things that we have in the Lord. Have you ever been around a moody or temperamental person? You don't know where they stand. You don't know if you're going to make them happy or mad. You don't know if you should leave the room or stay. You don't know if you should say something or not say something. This is not what we're talking about, because the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And that's sometimes challenging to do, because there are days where we may not feel like doing that, but it's still a command nonetheless. We're going to be consistent and constant, mature Christians, and each day we're going to have that joy in our life. Do you remember where Paul was when he wrote this book? He was in a Roman prison, wasn't he? He speaks often of joy in this book, about 16 times, and he's writing it in a Roman prison. Because listen, those things that we just studied, those things that are in the Lord, they don't change from day to day. The forgiveness of sins, the hope of heaven, unity, truth, those things don't change from day to day. So we're always rejoicing in the Lord. Those things don't change with time. They don't change with circumstance. The things that are in the Lord are always in the Lord. And so we always rejoice. I want us to turn now and come with me to the book of Philippians, and then we'll close. I want to look at a few examples in which we find this in the book of Philippians, and we can find it in our own life. And you're thinking, even on that bad day, that bad Friday that I'm having, or that bad Monday that I'm having, that bad day at work, or that bad day at school, or whatever the case might be, do you mean rejoicing in the Lord? You can think of different types of days that you have, and we are to have that joy in our life at all times and always. First of all, our joy in Christ does not change whether we're in freedom or in bondage. Whether someone is over us and we're bound to them or not. We find, for example, in the first chapter in verse 13 that Paul says, so that my bonds became manifest in Christ throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. He's in a prison right now. There were times when Paul wasn't in prison. And he could travel, he could go do all kinds of things. And then there were times when he was in prison. Either way, he was happy in the Lord. And no matter what the circumstance is throughout the day, those things that we just talked about, those things cannot be taken away from us. If our name is written in heaven, it doesn't change if you're having a bad day at work or not. Your name's still written in heaven. And so these things do not change, and they give us joy every day. Paul says, whether I'm free or whether I'm in bondage, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to accomplish good for His cause. I'm going to continue preaching the gospel. Whether I'm in the midst of friends or in the midst of enemies. There were those who loved Paul and preached from love. There were those who didn't like Paul and they were envious of him and causing strife for him. Whether he was with friend or foe, whether he was around people who liked him or not, he was simply going to do what God wanted him to do. He was going to preach the gospel. Sometimes when we're here, and we might have a get-together over at someone's home. We're in the midst of friends. And really, that is encouraging to me, when we can be with brethren. But you know what? When I'm in town somewhere, and I'm in the midst of those who don't like me, my name is still written in heaven. I still got a hope of heaven. I can be unified with my brethren. Those things are not going to be taken away from me. And so we find that Paul was in the midst of friends and sometimes in the midst of foes, and he was still happy in Christ. Whether he was living or dying, it doesn't matter. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Whether we're living, whether we're on our deathbed, whether we're healthy or whether we have a sickness that's going to cause us to die, it doesn't matter. I'm going to live for Christ now, and if I die, I'm going to see Him and be with Him. Either way, because I'm living a faithful life, I'm always going to rejoice. And then this next one maybe fits us often, these next two, in sickness or in health. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 26, we read about Epaphroditus who had done some service for the Lord. Turn with me to chapter 2 and verse 26. Since he longed after you all, and he was sore troubled because you had heard, that he was sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. Well, Epaphroditus continued to be a faithful servant of the Lord. And he had a sickness unto death, whether we're healthy, whether we're sick. You know, there were times when Paul was beaten. There were times when he rode a ship and nothing happened to the ship, and then there were other times when the ship wrecked. And there were times when he was healthy. There were times, no doubt, that he was sick. And Epaphroditus was sick. And yet these people are just going to continue serving the Lord and be happy. And then the last one we find maybe from time to time in our own life with the different economics that go on and job changes that go on. And bills and other kinds of things that come up. Paul said, whether I'm prosperous or whether I'm facing adversity, it doesn't matter. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever state I am in, that is the state of prosperity or the state of adversity, I am content. I know how to be abased, that is having things taken away from me. I know how to abound. In everything and in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. I can do all things in Him that strengthens me. Why? Because whether we have physical prosperity or physical adversity, it doesn't change whether or not our name is written in heaven, and forgiveness of sins, and Christ as a Savior, and lost souls being saved, and all those things that we talked about. Those things that are particular to the Lord, those things that pertain to the Lord, those things are not taken away at all in prosperity or adversity. Let's go out and follow the command to rejoice in the Lord always. It's a positive command. It's a command that allows us to have a relationship where that discouragement and depression and division and sin and sorrow is removed, and we live a positive life. And you know what? Our mental health is better. Our physical health is better. We help others around us. Number two, it's a particular command. We have to be in the Lord. And if you're not this morning, we would encourage you to step forward and come and do that. And if we are in the Lord, having been baptized into Christ, we strive to live faithfully and stay in the Lord. And then it is a perpetual command, always. We're going to have ups and downs. We're going to have good days and bad days. But what's not going to change is that inner joy that we have in the Lord. It's going to make our words sweeter, our actions kinder, our thoughts purer. If we can assist you this morning in coming and making your life right with God, why won't you come? We stand and sing.